Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Amen. Welcome. Good morning to everyone, and we're blessed to be together this morning to hear the Lord's word, both and receive it in both word and sacrament, and also celebrate the magnificent blessing that was the Reformation, and remember the gift of the pure gospel and those blessings in the scriptures that come to us each and every day. We are thankful that you're here. We have a wonderful service planned for you this morning. We also welcome those who are tuned in on the radio as well. Thanks for joining us for our service today. It's a big Sunday for our churches, and we're blessed to be together. Our opening hymn for our service this morning is hymn number 645, Built on the Rock. We do invite the congregation to stand, if you're able, for that hymn, and we'll sing together our hymn of invocation. Please rise.
Thank you.
the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 34 and Psalm 119. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will speak of your testimony before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. We sing the Kyrie together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, you pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading this morning on this, the celebration of the Reformation, comes from the book of Revelation in the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. He said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the children forward this morning for our children's sermon. Look what I have in my hand. Can everybody see it?
Yes.
Do you know what these are?
M&M's.
I'll tell you what. They're for sale. Yeah. They are not 200. 1 cent. That's the price. That's the price.
In Victor dollars?
The price is 1 cent. So you want a candy? Gotta give me a cent.
There's a Victor cent.
Oh, you don't have any money. Guess what? I have something to give you. Yeah, look what I've got. Pennies.
That'd be weird.
I've got. Everyone is wearing red. And there's even in red shoes. And there's even red M&Ms in the bag. Okay, I'm going to give this to you. Are you ready? A gift. A gift.
I'm not wearing red.
A gift. A gift. A gift. And another gift. Okay, now I'm curious, would you still like to purchase these M&Ms? Oh, yeah. Well, here we go. Pay up. Come get your M&Ms. Now, these are only for eating during the sermon, okay?
All right.
All right. That was one and another one. Thank you. Excellent work. And we continue to go. No, they're all the same, exactly the same. And here you go. Yes, enjoy, enjoy. Now I have to ask you guys a question about our little transaction. Are you ready? Are you ready? There's a question.
Is this like Jesus?
Tell us how.
It's kind of like born by Mary and then
Yeah, that's true.
Like our little transaction.
Yeah. Oh, good. So every time, listen careful, not yet, they're for during the sermon, remember?
The actual sermon.
The actual sermon, yeah. Not for the children's sermon, for the normal sermon. That was confusing. Okay, look, it's a little lesson on how life works. Okay, can you listen? It's a little lesson on how life works. So everything that God asks us for, right? All of our love and care, our forgiveness and our mercy, He is the one who provides us with that, right? Just like I gave you the penny that you needed to get the M&Ms. God gives us everything, right? And even the good works that we do, all of our prayers, all of our good works that we do for our neighbor, all those things, they are all given to us from God, and then we're able to give them back to Him. So really, He's caring for us in all of these different ways. Go ahead.
Why did
Right, because I'm trying to show you a lesson, right? God gives you your body, your mind, your heart, your hands, your feet, your legs, and then you go out and serve God with those. And He's the one that provided all of it. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, so everything we need comes from God. He gives us everything. And today, guys, today, He gave you some M&Ms to eat during the sermon. The other sermon.
And
M&M's. Yeah. There you go. Let's fold our hands, bow our heads, and close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us everything. Our bodies, our minds, and our hearts to serve you. And it's all from you. We give you thanks. And we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you.
I'm going to fall out of my seat to go.
Don't fall. Oh, you did.
I just want to quickly point out, your example is not only how God works, but also a more generous way of how the modern day economy works. I mean, like, you receive money, and in turn, you give that money back to who you got from, like, buy food and stuff.
Interesting point. Interesting point. Thanks for sharing. And we continue on into our psalm for this morning. Our psalm is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
We invite the congregation to please stand now if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. According to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We now confess our faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our hymn of the day for this Sunday is "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," and we're blessed to have James Lind here to share with us the history of this hymn.
Technology is sometimes our friend and sometimes our enemy, as we might soon discover with the hymn history. But I wanted to share kind of a little bit of the story of our faith regarding this hymn. We often think of Martin Luther as a great reformer, Bible translator, political leader, fiery preacher, and a theologian. But he was also a musician, having been born in an area of Germany known for its music. There, in his little Thuringian village, young Martin grew up listening to his mother sing. He joined a boys' choir that sang at weddings and funerals. He became proficient with the flute, the recorder at that time, and his volcanic emotions often erupted in song. When the Protestant Reformation began, Luther determined to restore worship to the German church. He worked with skilled musicians to create new music for Christians to be sung in the vernacular. He helped revive congregational singing and wrote a number of hymns. In the foreword of a book, Luther once wrote, "Next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. It controls our thoughts, minds, hearts, and spirits. A person who does not regard music as a marvelous creation of God does not deserve to be called a human." Luther's most famous hymn is "Ein fester Burg ist unser Gott," a mighty fortress is our God, often determined or believed today to be the battle hymn of the Reformation. It is based on Psalm 46. It reflects Luther's awareness of our intense struggle with Satan. In difficulty and danger, as was often the case during the Reformation, Luther would often resort to this song, saying to his associate, quote, "Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm." This is a difficult hymn to translate because the original German is so vivid. At least 80 English versions are available. The most popular in America was done by Frederick Henry Hodge, but an older version appeared in the Pennsylvania Lutheran Church Book of 1868. That translation states, "A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now o'ertaken." So I want to leave you with Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And so it is in that, let us sing together, "A mighty fortress is our God." Please stand as you are able.
Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The Reformation. The Reformation. It was not about pomp and circumstance. It was not about fame for Luther or the other reformers. It was not about us remembering him in the history books or us even celebrating the Reformation this morning. The Reformation was about one simple thing when boiled down, that Jesus of Nazareth saved us by God's grace. That Jesus did the work. That Jesus accomplished the goal. It was Jesus that said, "It is finished." It's not us that needs to say that. It was him. Sin, if you think back on your Old Testament for a few minutes, sin blinded Adam and Eve. It blinded them to many, many things. But when those things are boiled down, what's at the bottom of the pot is that it blinded them from God's love for them. Before they sinned against the Lord in the garden, they were with him in fellowship and everything was golden. And then after the transgression, they were afraid and they hid from their loving heavenly Father. Since Genesis, sin has been at the core of human nature for every single one of us. And as a result of that, we're always trying to earn, trying to prove, maybe even just our own value, but we're working hard. But God's grace was given to us apart from the law, apart from the fulfillment of those things, Paul says, and completely for free. When we didn't go looking for it, when we didn't even really want it. There it was, by grace, through faith, alone. All of Adam and Eve's children end up sick with this delusion, with this foolishness to think that this life is about us and our achievements and our accomplishments and whether or not we can check the win box for the situations in life that we have. Jesus has a way of describing this strange sort of phenomena in our gospel reading this morning. A very unique way, albeit, in Matthew chapter 11. He gives us one of the best ways, I think, to understand this. So if you look at the text with me this morning, you'll notice he starts out in those passages talking about John the Baptist and letting us in on the fact that John is the finality of the Old Testament in historical time, and that Jesus even goes so far as to say, if you can accept it, he says, he is Elijah, letting us in on the reality that John is in fact marking the end of the age, and that certainly he is that distinguishing characteristic. It's no longer the old covenant. Now it's the new covenant. And then the next little statement there that Jesus gives us, he says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And it's kind of a strange thing to say. We're kind of, tell me I'm wrong, right? We look at this and we go, huh? What are you saying? What's the point? Well, the Greek can help us out a little bit on the word violent, because in the Greek it's biazo, which means to forcibly take. To forcibly take the kingdom. In other words, sinners think they can gain the kingdom by their own force of action. By their merit, by their good works, by their serious acting out of the Christian faith, even. By their performance, by being good enough, so we go on the quest, the struggle to try to be what we're supposed to be. Why? So we can take the kingdom of heaven, but we'll never get it that way. Sinners force themselves upon the kingdom. We want the kingdom and we want our cake too. We want what we love here in this world, but we also want to take the kingdom. It's like we're trying to plunder it, in a sense. But it won't be taken that way. It's only to be given. There's no different way in which the kingdom comes to you, to me, to all of us together. It has to be given to us. Consider it this way. Love. You always hear those stories. I got to watch a cool movie last night. And it's, you remember these sort of stories about love, that somebody loves somebody else. And they want so desperately for that person to love them. And what do? But they go about the activity of trying to change themselves in order to make themselves lovable to that other person. But love can't be achieved that way, can it? It doesn't matter how good of a spouse we might be. It doesn't matter how good of a son or daughter, a grandchild, a grandparent, a parent even. It doesn't matter how good of any of those things we are, we're never going to achieve the love of the other person. Love, true love, must be given. And in that reality is a ton of freedom. We talk about it sometimes about the marriage vow and how much freedom it gives. The love is not being accomplished by the other. It's not being won over every moment of the day. It's being delivered by the spouse or by the family member or by the friend. That love is a gift. It's only given. And so as we chase these things, we have to remember, as we live this Christian life, we have to remember this cry of the Reformation, that we're saved by grace through faith alone. Jesus of Nazareth did it all. And God, believe it or not, despite the fact that we see our sin and we know our shortcomings and we know them well, despite that, God actually loves you. It can't be earned. It can't be performed for. It can't be, I'm good enough for it. No. It doesn't work that way anyways, right? By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Nobody could do it right anyway, but that's not really the point, is it? The point is that love, the kingdom of heaven, is given. And that when we try to engage in taking it, we take it by violence or by force. And that's not how it works. Jesus goes on in the rest of the text and he says, it's like children playing in the marketplace. I say, I played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang you a dirge, but you didn't mourn. In other words, God has come to his people, both old covenant and new, in every possible way he could think of to try to show them that that's what this is. He split the Red Sea. He was with them across the desert in the wilderness. He brought them into the Promised Land, a land flowing with milk and with honey. and he provided, and he provided, and he forgave, and he forgave, and they couldn't and wouldn't dance to that tune of his love. It was always, what do I do, Lord? How do I do it right? And now, has he not sung a dirge for us with his own son, Jesus, on the cross, dying for our sins? But would we mourn for him? Or when we wake up in the morning and as sinful human beings, our old nature is telling us, what's in today for me? And that's how I'll decide whether I'm going to be in a good mood or a bad mood. Everything we're handed is a blessing from God. All these gifts that flow down from the Father of lights, it's all by grace. It's all by pure, Luther said, pure fatherly goodness. He's showing you the same thing he was trying to show them. He's showing it to me too, that we can't earn it. He actually loves you. It's given you for free. The waters of holy baptism speak to this exact reality. You carry a little baby up to the font and you say, what could this baby do to deserve this magnificent gift of faith and eternal life? They're helpless. They can't do anything. It's a beautiful little picture of the gospel right there. Because when it comes to adults, adults might think that they can accomplish a lot of good stuff, but not before God. Before God, Paul told us in our reading, all have sinned and fallen short. So we're more helpless before God than a baby is in this world. And yet he gives us the gifts and he pours out his love. It can't be earned. It can't be taken by force. But we're wired this way. We're wired to think about it this way. Think about it like we have to accomplish it. This morning he comes to us, like the psalmist will say, and creates in us clean hearts, O God, and renews a right spirit within us. And that's simply a spirit of being the one who's loved and no merit of our own. God continues to play the flute for the whole world. Do you want to see mercy? Do you want to see kindness at epic levels? Look at his provision around his earth. Constantly. But nobody wants to dance for it. Can we ever really love? Can we ever really, in faith, trust in God? Can we even be loved by him? Adam and Eve, really in the very beginning, they had it all. They had this beautiful world. They're in perfect fellowship with God. Everything's hunky-dory. And they sold it for a piece of fruit. Don't sell out this beautiful life that you've been given and this beautiful position you have in holy baptism for the cheap party tricks of Satan. Don't listen to his lies. Our nature is wrong, friends. Our thoughts are wrong on this. Our conclusions are wrong. It's not like God is looking to you and saying, hey, here's what you have to do. He's not. He's given it all to us for free. And then it's from that we go forth and we serve him and we love him and we love our neighbor. It's from that beautiful, powerful position of just being loved, not trying to take the kingdom by force or self-empowered ideas and change. It's only free. He gives his gifts for you and for me. And this was the cry of the Reformation when they cried, by grace alone, through faith alone, through scripture alone. This is the message of the whole thing. It wasn't for a second about who they were. It was about the gospel of Jesus Christ still being preached and proclaimed in the world, that Jesus did it all. Those were his words. Hear them this morning. It is finished. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray to our God who has justified us by the work of grace in Jesus alone, that our faith may be strengthened and nourished by his holy word. Holy Lord, you have given to us your word as your promise and washed us in baptism to be your own people and to live under you in your kingdom in the freedom of your love. Build us up in Christ, that we may hold the faith in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace as we give evidence of this faith and holiness of life. Straighten us out, Lord, when we're in error. Reform us and what's lacking in us, that we may continue to grow up into Christ our head. Lord, in your mercy. God of grace, keep us steadfast in your word and prevent our wayward hearts from following false gospels that lead us astray from you. Provide to your church faithful pastors who will preach the purity and the joy of the gospel, that we're saved by your grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, Heavenly Father, give wisdom and strength to all fathers in the home and church. Make them faithful in teaching your word to the children entrusted to their care, that these little ones would come to know you as their loving Heavenly Father as well. And may they live as true children of God. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, when the nations are in uproar and the kingdoms are falling, teach us, O Lord, to be still and know that you are God. Guide, we pray, all who govern us so that evil is thwarted, righteousness rewarded, and all your ways are upheld. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, hear our prayers for the sick, for the joyful, for those in any need. We name before you from the altar this morning, Marcus and family, Teresa O'Haver, Cheryl O'Dowd, Betty Patton, Carly Moore, Lauren Belfer, Katie Philly, Izzy Wieskamp, Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Helen Almdale, Lauren Ohawe, Jeff Fotopolik, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Larry Reinbarger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, answer their prayers. Preserve them by your promises and bring them safely through this world to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, give to all who approach your altar this day repentant hearts and firm faith in the Savior's promises. graciously prevent us from partaking to our judgment, and grant us reverence and joy to receive Christ's own body and blood today. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we give you thanks for all your servants who have departed this life in the faith. We especially bless you today for the reformers of your church who call us back to the gospel and to the righteousness we have in Christ alone. Keep us in fellowship with them and bring us at last to our heavenly home and the joy of seeing our Redeemer face to face through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our offering. As the offerings are collected and presented, we'll enjoy some special music. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in and being a part of our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings, his strength, and may he be your fortress in this coming week. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary with us, we invite you to turn over to page 9 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. Our sacrament this morning will be received in a line.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
Z News, I'm Dave Packer. Two suspects have been arrested in France in connection with last week's brazen heist at the Louvre.
Authorities say they arrested one of the men Saturday evening at Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport, allegedly as he was about to fly to Algeria. Police say the suspects live in a suburb of Paris, and this news emerges one full week after four robbers broke into the Louvre as it was opening last Sunday. Disguised as construction workers, they used a cherry picker to scale one of the walls and then used angle saws and other tools to break into display cases and stole $100 million worth of jewelry.
ABC's Marcus Moore. President Trump spending the first day of his Far East tour in Malaysia, signing a peace agreement between Cambodia and Thailand. Melissa has exploded in strength this weekend from a tropical storm to a Category 4 hurricane. The slow-moving storm is now heading directly for Jamaica. Meteorologists say Melissa could become the strongest hurricane to impact the island in more than 35 years. This is ABC News.
Time to enjoy more of Southern Colorado's best country music on KSBK.
She wanna take me around the town, hit the dive bars, two-stepping on my Jordans on the dance floor. Shot of tequila, two margaritas, and talking with that Southern draw. Used to the bass and now I'm wanting a guitar. Driving the range but now I'm singing the last night, huh, damn, I might have fell in love. I'm Tennessee tripping, yeah, she got my head spinning like a rodeo. And yeah, that's the kind of woman make you call your friends up and say, I fell in love with a cowgirl. I'm following the curves like a back road. The way she fitted in them Levi's make a man. I'm in it for more than just one night. Yeah, I'm Tennessee tripping. Yeah, she got my head spinning like a rodeo. And yeah, that's the kind of woman make you call your friends up and say, I fell in love with a cowgirl. I'm following the curves like a back road. The way she fitted in them Levi's make a man.